All right. Once again, it's such a blessing to be back tonight and to see you here and to be able to open God's Word. Just briefly, my testimony, I guess. I was saved at a young age and grew up going to church, a good independent Baptist church there near Chicago, about an hour outside of the city. And my parents always wanted my brothers and sisters and I to be involved in ministry. And so we all played instruments. And so we were playing in the along with the singing during the singing and the services, and we got involved in singing in the choir and different things. And I knew that God wanted me in missions through various circumstances, but I didn't want to go that direction with my life. I had a lot of different things I wanted to do, and not things that were necessarily bad, but they weren't what God had for my life. And so as I was in high school, went on a few missions trips to Quebec and Nova Scotia and Mexico. And through those mission trips, God started working in my heart and showing me that He wanted me to surrender my life and to serve Him and see what He would do with my life. And so I did that. It was hard because I want to do what I want to do, obviously, just like we all do. But I knew that God had something better for me. And so I said, Lord, I don't even know what it is You have for me, but I want to serve You. I want You to use me, and I want to be profitable for You. And so I'm surrendering to You. And so I went to Bible college as a missions major, and I think it was in my second year of Bible college, my missions professor there gave us an assignment. We had to write a research paper on some area of the world that was unreached, a place that didn't have any independent Baptist churches, no missionaries, anything like that. And so he gave us a list of a couple different places that we could choose from, and Labrador was on that list. I know there was a missionary, Steve Stone, in Labrador City, you know, in the late 90s and early 2000s. But at the time, there was no one there in Labrador, no established independent Baptist church. So I didn't know anything about Labrador, except for the retrievers are named after that place. And that was the only thing I knew about it. So anyway, it interested me. I picked Labrador. And as I started reading about Labrador, reading about the people there, the indigenous peoples, reading about the needs there, and all of that, and working on that assignment, the Lord started giving me a burden for those people and for that place. And so I added Labrador to my prayer list. I had a couple of places I was praying specifically about, Lord, is this where You'd have me to serve You? Added Labrador to that list. Over the next couple months, probably 3 or 4 months, as I prayed about it, the Lord really gave me a burden for Labrador. Every time I prayed about it, I couldn't stop thinking about Labrador. And all those other places just kind of faded off, and Labrador stuck out in my mind as the place that God would have me to serve. And so through a number of other circumstances, and of course the process of time, I eventually knew that God wanted me to serve Him there and to start a church there and see people saved there in Labrador. We got married after we graduated from Bible college, served on staff at a church in Chesapeake, Virginia, where Christy's dad is the pastor there, served there for 2 years. Then we started deputation. When we were able to do our survey trip to Labrador, it was 3 years ago. It was right after Darren and Amanda Dinsmore had moved there a couple months later. And we went up there, and as we met the people and saw the needs, you know, the Bible says, mine eye affecteth my heart. And that's exactly what happened to both my wife and I as we were there on our survey trip. And it was just an extra confirmation that that was where God would have us to go and to serve Him. And so we finished up deputation just under 2 years, moved up there in May, and it's been a great experience so far. We're looking forward to seeing what God is going to do there in Labrador. Some of our goals are to see, of course, the church established there in Goose Bay. We have three ladies that are coming pretty faithfully to the services. One's been coming since June. We hung a door hanger on her door, never met her, but she called us one day and said, hey, I'd like to come to church. I'm tired of my church. I want to come to your church. And so we've been picking her up, giving her a ride to church ever since. She's been very faithful. We have two older ladies from Sheshashi. They're both Innu, and they've been coming regularly. They brought several visitors with them, their younger sister, their grandkids, a younger lady with her four kids last Sunday, and a man and his wife who didn't really know much English. And so we had a hard time talking to them. But they brought a number of visitors to the services, and so that's been neat to see that. We had an open house, kind of the grand opening of our new facility is what we called it, on November 6th, just a couple weeks ago. And we didn't really have too many visitors out for that, unfortunately. But a couple of weeks before that, we had a potluck supper, and we had 25 people. And that was the most we've ever had there in the service. And it was a great blessing to see how our little room there, our little building, kind of filled up a little bit. And it was great to see that and see how God is working there. The work in Labrador is going to be a long-term work. It's not going to be something that is a fast-growing work. It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of patience, a lot of prayer. And we're trusting God to work in people's hearts. People there are very friendly, but they have their own church, the Pentecostal church, which is the biggest church there in town, or the Catholics, or the Anglicans, or the Salvation Army, or different things like that. And so it's going to be a difficult thing, but we're trusting God to use the power of His Word in people's hearts and lives, and trusting Him to see people's lives saved and changed by the Word of God. One of our goals is to work in the native community, and Lord willing, we will be starting a Bible study there in the next week or two when we get back home. And the two ladies that have been coming from there have asked us to do a Bible study. They said, hey, we'll open up our home and we'll have friends over. We know a lot of people that don't go to the Pentecostal church here, but they're interested in spiritual things, but they don't want to drive 20 minutes down to the church, but maybe they'll come to our house for a Bible study. So we're looking forward to seeing what God will do through that. And hopefully that will be our inroads into the native community. Not being native, obviously, and very obviously not native, it's hard for us to be able to try to get in there and work there because there's a lot of prejudice and things. But we're looking forward to seeing how God is going to use that, and trusting that we can do some work there. There's a lot of young people there in the native communities that they really don't have anything to do when they're out of school. Many problems. Many of them use drugs and alcohol and the gas sniffing that you've all, I'm sure, have heard about. Many problems up there. A lot of suicides. And we're hoping to do some youth group type meetings there as well with the young people. And then maybe next spring and summer, we're hoping to get in some vacation Bible schools and different things like that, day camp like we did this last year, and looking forward to see how God will use that. So the long-term goals, see the church established there, keep working among the indigenous peoples. We would also like to take some trips out to the coastal villages out there. There's no gospel witness in any of the towns there. And we'd like to take some trips out to those places and hold evangelistic meetings and Bible studies and hand out John and Romans and things. And so we're just so excited about seeing what God is doing there in Labrador. And we're so excited to be a part of it. And what a privilege that is. We're going to be in John chapter 10 tonight. Book of John chapter 10. You know, there are several places in the Bible where God compares people to sheep, and He calls Jesus the Good Shepherd. There's an example of this in Isaiah, where the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The book of Psalms has a lot to say about sheep, and of course David was a shepherd, and so he knew what he was talking about. But he said in Psalm 100 verse 3, he said, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. But then we come here to John chapter 10, and we find the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep of this world. Now let's look at John chapter 10 and verse number 11. And this is Jesus talking. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Look down at verse number 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Notice especially verse number 16. This is what we're going to focus on tonight. Jesus said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Let's pray as we get started this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word again tonight. I pray that you would help us as we look at this passage of you as the good shepherd and people as sheep that need to be reached with the gospel. I pray that you would touch our hearts and burden us in a greater way for reaching the lost all around us and all around the world. We thank you for what you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus uses this analogy of sheep that are lost and have no shepherd. He is going to say that these sheep need to be found. They need to be brought into the fold. And Jesus is comparing lost sheep to lost souls, that people that are without Christ. Jesus said in verse 16, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." Now God has given Christians the responsibility of seeking out the other lost sheep of this world and bringing them to meet Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. If we are to gather the lost sheep of this world, if we are to help bring people in to meet the Good Shepherd, there are a couple things that we have to consider. Number one, we must consider the vision of the shepherd. The vision of the shepherd. In verse 16 there, he says, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold." He says, there are other sheep, there are other lost people out there that are not part of this fold. And he says, them also I must bring into the fold. Now Jesus visualized a world full of people, of men, women, and children that were lost and dying and on their way to hell. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, when it says Jesus was moved with compassion, that's not talking about feeling sorry for someone. That being moved with compassion, as it says there, means that he was motivated to do something about the needs that he saw. It was a compassion that did something to help. And so when he saw the multitudes, he was motivated to do something. And so, of course, he as the Good Shepherd gave his life for these other sheep. He said, he was saying, "I'm going to die for these other sheep. I'm going to take the punishment they deserve for their sin. I will be their substitute. I'm going to die for all mankind so these other sheep can be brought into the fold." Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He saw a whole world full of people who needed to trust himself as their Savior. You know, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He came to give everyone an opportunity to be saved and have that eternal life. And so Jesus said, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold." Jesus was saying, don't limit the gospel to the sheep that are already in the fold. Don't bottle up the gospel in our church walls and forget to take it out into the community. He was saying, don't keep the gospel for those that are already in the fold. He was saying, we've got to go out into the wilderness and find those sheep that are lost and bring them in to meet the Good Shepherd. There are many sheep wandering in the wilderness of this world, in the darkness, in danger, headed for a cliff and not even knowing it. And those sheep must be brought into the fold as well. We must catch the vision of the shepherd. This is how we must see lost people around us if we are going to gather the lost sheep of this world. There's a harvest of souls all around us that are ready to be gathered, but if we wait too long, we might miss the opportunity. We must work while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. There are people all around us that need to be reached with the gospel. Will they all trust Christ as Savior when we witness to them? No, but we're supposed to be faithful and be a witness to them. Will they all come to church when we invite them? No, but we need to be faithful and invite them to church. Why is this vision of the shepherd important? Well, the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. If we don't have a vision for the lost, they're going to perish and die in their sins because we never gave them the gospel like we should have. So Jesus had a large vision. He was saying, it's not just about you anymore. He was saying, I have other sheep that need to be brought into the fold. We must see the world through the eyes of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Now, the vision of the shepherd depends upon the second thing as well, and that is the value of one sheep. The value of one sheep. Turn back a few pages to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And we see the value of one sheep. Jesus is talking here in Luke 15 to a group of, it says, publicans and sinners and Pharisees and scribes and all these people gathered together. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 3, it says, "Jesus spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" So he's using logic here. He's saying, if you have 100 sheep, you're a shepherd, you have 100 sheep and one gets lost, who would not go look for that lost sheep? continue there in verse number 5. It says, "When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Look down also at verse number 10. "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Here we see the value of one sheep. In the eyes of God, every individual person is priceless. Every individual person was worth the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross so that person could be saved. Jesus would focus his efforts on winning individual people. He would go after individuals and show them that he cared about them. A couple of examples of that. We think about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a short little man, lost in a big crowd. I'm not going to sing you the children's song. But Zacchaeus was climbed up a tree one day so he could see Jesus as he passed by. And Jesus came under the tree and he looked up and saw Zacchaeus. And he said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today." And Zacchaeus and Jesus have a conversation there. Zacchaeus ends up trusting Christ as Savior, repents of his sin, repays all the money that he had stolen over the years. He was a tax collector. He was the chief of the publicans, a man that was hated by the Jews, a man that was considered to be a traitor. But Jesus knew the value of one. And so Jesus took the time to reach an individual person when no one else would have cared about Zacchaeus. You know, the Samaritan woman at the well that we talked about last night, Jesus cared for her. She was an individual. He made a special effort to go into Samaria to reach her with the gospel. And the Bible says the disciples marveled that Jesus was talking to this woman. Why do they marvel? Why were they surprised? Well, their vision for the lost was impaired by a cultural prejudice because they didn't want to have anything to do with those Samaritans like we talked about last night. And so Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest." He was trying to help his disciples realize they needed to catch the vision and realize how important every individual soul is in the eyes of God. It doesn't matter who someone is or what their background may be. Everyone is valuable and priceless in the eyes of God. And he wants everyone to have an opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. What about the maniac of Gadara? The maniac of Gadara was a man who was possessed by demons. He was an outcast from his village. His family didn't care about him. He lived in the cemetery running around there. And Jesus knew what this man could become by the grace of God. And so he took the time to reach someone that no one cared about. And he went, healed the man, cast out the demons. You know the story. The man's completely changed. When Jesus was leaving the area, the man came up to Jesus and said, "Lord, take me with you. I want to go with you. I want to serve you." Do you remember what Jesus told the man? He said, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." This madman became a missionary. This madman, as the Bible continues in that story and tells us, he went about the cities of Decapolis and published abroad the great things that Christ had done for him. And you can only imagine the town people there seeing this person who once was a lunatic coming and saying, "Hey, Jesus changed my life. Look at what he did for me. He can do that for you." This madman became a missionary. Now, most Christians today would not take the time to try to reach someone like that with the gospel. But Jesus saw the value of that man's soul. He saw what that man could become by the grace of God, even when no one else could. You know, Jesus put the right perspective on the value of a soul when he said, "For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Or what can he give in exchange for his soul?" He's saying, what is more valuable than the eternal soul of an individual person? Someone once said the value of one soul is worth more than the wealth of the entire world. The value of one soul is worthy of the greatest ambition and effort that we could put forth to reach them. And there is nothing in this world that can equal the loss of just one soul. In the eyes of God, Every individual is priceless. The value of one sheep to God is priceless. You know, if we spent our entire lives there in Labrador and only saw one person trust Christ as Savior, it'd still be worth it. That's one soul that is precious in the eyes of God. That's one soul that's not going to spend eternity in hell. That's one soul who's on his way to heaven and can be a witness to others. And of course, we want to see many people saved and churches established across Labrador. But in the eyes of God, that one individual person is priceless. Come back to John chapter 10, and we see a third thing. We see the vulnerability of the sheep. The vulnerability of the sheep. John chapter 10, and look at verse number 10. It says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep." Now there's some other things going on in that last verse that we don't have time to talk about tonight. But sheep are vulnerable. It's been said that sheep are some of the dumbest animals on earth. Sheep do not have a good sense of direction. Sheep have to be led. They need a shepherd to guide them. They don't know where to find the food or shelter or find a safe place to stay for the night. They don't know how to find those things. They have to be led into the pasture. Their sheep are easily scattered. The wolves will single out the weakest or the smallest or the one that's trailing behind the rest of the flock. Sheep are vulnerable to the predators. Sheep have no way of defending themselves from a predator. They're easily scattered. Like Jesus said, he saw Israel as scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd. Sheep are vulnerable when they do not have someone to protect them. That is why Jesus gave his life as the good shepherd for the sheep. Verse number 10, at the end of the verse, it says, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." The end of verse 11, "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Sheep need a shepherd. The lost sheep of this world are wandering around in the wilderness with no shepherd. They have no guidance. They have no protection. They follow this man or that idea or this philosophy, but it's just the blind leading the blind, and they both fall in the ditch, as the Bible says. The lost sheep of this world are vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. The Bible says that the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Satan has the lost sheep of this world exactly where he wants them, blind, hopeless, and destined for an eternity in hell. And he wants to keep lost people in that condition because he can have control over their lives. We have to understand that the lost sheep of this world are vulnerable. They're vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. You know, outwardly, as we walk down the street and go about our daily business, outwardly, people seem to be successful or well-known or what have you. But they're lost. They're dying. Their head is straight for hell. They're vulnerable, and they need to meet Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. We have one last thing in this passage here tonight, and that is the voice of the shepherd. The voice of the shepherd. Someone did an experiment one time, and they took several flocks of sheep, and they put them all in the same pasture, and they mixed all the sheep up, and they put one shepherd on each corner of this field. And when they gave a signal, all the shepherds began calling their sheep at the same time. Now, the amazing thing was that each sheep recognized the voice of his shepherd. And so he would make a beeline straight for where his shepherd was. He may have not been able to see his shepherd, but he could hear him and he could walk straight towards him. None of the sheep went over to the wrong corner. None of the sheep said, "Well, I want to hang out with my buddy from the other flock." That's not what happened, okay? Each sheep knew exactly where their shepherd was, and they followed his voice. Now let's look here at verse number 2. Sheep follow a familiar sound. It says, "He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out." By the way, The Good Shepherd calls his own sheep by name. He knows us individually. He knows our name. He knows our needs. He knows our desires. And he can care for us individually because he calls us by name. Verse 4, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Another side note, you can know the voice of your shepherd. How do we know the voice of our shepherd? Well, we compare what we hear to the word of God. If it doesn't sound like the word of God, it's not the voice of our shepherd. Amen. Look at verse number 5. It says, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The sheep follow the shepherd that they know. Why is that? Well, the shepherd was there when they were born to take care of them. The shepherd was there when they were hurt to help them. The shepherd was there when they were hungry to provide for their needs. The shepherd was there when they were in danger to protect them. The sheep know that their shepherd loves and cares for them. And so they follow his voice and they ignore everything else. They will not follow an unfamiliar voice. Now, as the sheep of the Good Shepherd, what does Jesus do for us? Many things, but look at verse number 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know, the Good Shepherd keeps his sheep. He's never going to lose any. The Bible says we have the security of our salvation. We cannot lose our salvation. We are secure in the hand of God. He keeps his sheep. What an amazing thing it is that we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about losing our salvation. We can have peace that we know where we're going. And that even if we sin against God, even if we, quote, mess up, God, we're still saved, okay? I know people that believe they can lose their salvation, and they're always worried about, did I lose my salvation just then? They can't know. They can't have peace. They can't have joy because they don't have the assurance of their salvation. But we know that God keeps us in his hand, and nothing can remove that salvation. You know, Psalm 23 also tells us many things that the Good Shepherd does for us. Of course, many of you know that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There are so many blessings to being a sheep of God. There's so many blessings to being in the fold, in the flock. But what about those other sheep? Jesus said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. What about them? How are they going to hear the voice of the shepherd? How is someone who's wandering out in the wilderness of sin going to be rescued and join the flock of God? How are they going to hear the voice of the shepherd? Well, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God gives every Christian the responsibility of bringing them in, bringing in the sheep, bringing the sheep in to meet the Good Shepherd. We're sent with a message to the lost sheep of this world. God's given every believer the responsibility to represent him to this lost world. And we must be faithful as we try to bring in the lost sheep of this world so they can meet the Good Shepherd. You know, before we trusted Christ as Savior, you and I were those lost sheep, were we not? And someone came to us as we were out there wandering. Someone came to us and said, hey, come meet the Good Shepherd. Come into the fold of God. What a blessing it is that someone reached out to us and told us that we could be saved. We must do the same for others, because there are still lost sheep out there that need to be saved. And that's our responsibility to lead them to the shepherd. You know, when we trusted Christ as our Savior, he put us into the sheep business. In John chapter 21, we won't turn there, but Jesus challenged Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. That happened three times. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Jesus said, if you love me, take care of the sheep. Go reach others. You know, we prove our love for God by how we respond to other sheep. We prove our love for God by how faithful we are as a witness for God. You know what happened to Peter soon after that? Peter boldly gets up on the day of Pentecost and preaches, and 3,000 people get saved right there in one service. Later on, and I think it's in Acts chapter 4 or 5, 5,000 people get saved in one service as well. What an amazing thing. His life was transformed because he realized his responsibility that Jesus had given him. He realized that he could prove his love by helping reach others with the gospel. If we're going to feed the sheep, of course, we have to find them. We have to go out in the wilderness and find them and then bring them to meet the Good Shepherd. Are you trying to gather the lost sheep of this world? Are you trying to reach the lost sheep and bring them to the shepherd? We must catch the vision of the Good Shepherd. We must see the lost sheep of this world. We must realize the value of every individual person in the eyes of God. We must understand how vulnerable they are to the attacks of Satan. And we must be busy trying to bring them into the fold so they can meet Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and hear his voice and trust him as their Savior. Jesus said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. He didn't give us the option. He said, we must bring them in. They must be saved. They need to be saved. And that's our responsibility as Christians, to try to reach the lost sheep of this world and bring them to the Shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to look at your word tonight. I pray you'd help us see the lost sheep of this world that are around us and needing to be saved. I pray that you would help us to be faithful to that commission that you've given us to reach others with the gospel and bring them to the shepherd. I pray that you would help this church to take another step in evangelism and trying to reach people here in this city. I pray that you would help us to realize the responsibility that we have because of what you've done for us, and help us to be faithful as we try to serve you. We thank you so much for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.